Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
Jeff, we took a week off for the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast because you know what? The NFL took a week off, so we took a week off. There was no Pro Bowl. There was some Madden Simulation Bowl. I don't know. Some of that mismush. Sure, degenerate gamblers still gambled on that. We'll get to that more later on. But we are back here for the big game preview, Jeff. The big game, the props, Super Bowl 5-5, the LV. Don't know why they didn't try to have this one in Vegas. You feel like that would have been just perfect. Perfect. Right on this. Although I'm sure it's supposed to be there probably in the next 2 years. So there'll still be an LV in the logo. Bring back, by the way, the old cool Super Bowl logos. Jeff and I here with you. Gonna preview the big game. Gonna go over some stuff that's happened around the league. But first, as always, we like to just ask the very, very intricate question. How you doing, Jeff?
Well, I'm excited to be here. You know, you take a week off. We got to shake those cobwebs, get the rust off, get back here for the people. Give them what they need. Pre-big game, props, news, crazy things happening in our league that I am excited to talk to you about. I'm also excited to get into the ribble rabble of our normal back and forth, Billiam, William, Jilliam, and we have league fees, cash, credits on the line in our playoff challenge that we will hit at the very end. I know that's a little bit of a tease for those who clamor for how we are doing in this playoff challenge.
Oh, what a tease it is, even though we've detailed it, you know, every week since the playoffs started. I'll get to that. We got a lot of stuff, and you haven't really written anything. Although, let's retract that statement I just said, because there is something underneath our normal stuff. Little update. So I think what I want to start off with is Snowpiercer, Jeff.
Yes,
two weeks ago, you brought it up. I believe the train rode along or something got started or whatever it was for season two. So what I did is I watched the movie, which you had not seen, but you watched
still
the show. And I watched the movie. I thought it was good. I wouldn't call it the best thing ever, but I thought it was good, very entertaining. I then watched the first two episodes of the TV show. That's all I've gone so far. And I will say this, the first two episodes of the TV show, without spoiling too much, very similar to the movie in general. Like, the same kind of things happen in the first two episodes that happened in the movie, just kind of spread out. Okay. So I guess watching the movie really wasn't necessary to see the show. But I like it. I wouldn't say I'm all in yet. But I'm interested. I will start watching it. It is good for a TNT joint, I'll tell you that.
Oh, it's high level for TNT. I mean, some of their best work. But yeah, the second season, we're in two episodes in. It's, you know, there's some new characters. There's some new believable things, some new unbelievable things. But yeah, if you keep getting into it, you know, if you find the time in this era, the golden era of television where there's so many options, Snowpiercer.
That's it, huh? That's all we got?
It's fine. It's a fine show, okay? We detailed that last part.
Married at First Sight also is back, so nobody, don't forget about that.
Oh, wow.
Last thing, did you ever get in a stock game?
I did not get into, if you're referring to the Wall Street Bets, GameStop, AMC, Nokia, Conundrum. No, I was not a party to that. However, I will say I did feel kind of hip, and I think we'll get into this in our next little seg. As you become a father and into your 30s, you kind of feel detached from what the kids are into. And I actually followed Wall Street Bets on Instagram back in late 2018. So I felt like, whoa, this is kind of coming to the mainstream. You know, Wall Street Bets is obviously the Reddit channel. Never been deep into the Reddit game like you. You are a master of Reddit, if I do say. But yeah, I found, you know, the memery funny. I found, you know, them betting ridiculous sums on companies that they have no business betting on. But, you know, it's kind of fun. Do
so
I wish
the,
I would have
the
invested?
Leader in the movement.
I wouldn't say leader in the movement. I would say, like most things I do on social media, I was like a Schmeagle lurking in the shadows, just watching I don't know if I would say jealousy, but, you know, just in the shadows, just lurking and enjoying my biding my time back there.
Yeah, you were a hawk.
That's accurate.
Okay. All right. So that's all we got for the leading up to this. I did not either. I don't even care. It's fun to watch and people talk about it on Twitter and stuff, but I just do what my 3% match company match for the stocks and 401k goes in
there,
and, or 5%, whatever it is. And just whatever they put it in there and Shake Shack and all that. That's all I care about is that, you know, is that going up or not?
I'm sure it's been going up, up, up. Something else that I think is coming back, Will, I don't know, probably not. The Screamo Emo Nemo corner, we hit on it last week, and you kind of ignited in me, you know, the juices started flowing after, you know, our little Emery tease at the end. I don't know if I was on the exact same Spotify playlist. I take that back. I did listen to the 2000s Screamo list on one run, and then I found another playlist. I think it was post hardcore 2000s or something stupid like that. but there was a band on there that I feel like we talked about a long time ago, kind of a deeper pull, wanted to hit overrated, underrated, properly rated. Hands Like Houses.
Oh my. Love them. Wow. Gosh, I wish I could name some songs on top of my head, and I don't want to pull it up on Spotify. I'm just going to try to name a song right now. It was on my playlist. They had a couple. I can picture the album cover. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I want to say it started with an A, but it might start with an M. Oh man. This is going to kill me. But in terms of, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to go underrated, but I do think there was even one tour they went with Our Last Night, and I wanted to go to that show. I think I might have even texted you like years ago about that show. I think it was in Boston or something.
It was BossCon.
Yeah. Gosh, what a pull. Love them. Love Hands Like Houses. What are I'm guessing you heard a song or two by them, and it kind of prompted this question.
Oh, totally. I like I said, I was listening to those playlists, and one of their songs was on the playlist, and I was like, ooh, let me get back into this, and went straight to the album and just ran through it on the old Joggerino. So, yeah, Hands Like Houses. I think they're an accessible band from this genre. Mm. They, you know, the singer's voice is higher pitched, but not at a register that most would call whiny. And I think they're solid musicians, solid songwriters. They got some upbeat songs. They got some edge to them, if you will. So I too view them as underrated. I felt like they came, to your point, they were trying to like ride that Our Last Night style. And then I feel like the scene or the genre kind of just tapered off. And so that they never reached, maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe I was just so detached from the scene that I didn't know that they reached any sort of heights. So
the album I was thinking of was Ground Dweller, but the song I was thinking of was I Am on Dissonance, the album Dissonance, Dissonance. But I also had Momentary, which is probably maybe another song I was thinking of. But just to go into riding the wave, so just like every post-hardcore band, they had a song featuring – just naming an artist that you think would be featured in a song. Post-hardcore.
An artist?
A singer.
Featured.
Like, well, he's been part of bands. You have 5 seconds or else I'm just going to, you know.
Just go.
Matty Mullins. They had a song featuring Matty Mullins. Okay. People who don't know the lead singer of
Memphis
Mayfire. Wow. Yeah, Memphis Mayfire. Thank you. Memphis Mayfire. They also had a song featuring Johnny Craig, because of course. So their first album out. Thank you for listening to the Hands Like Houses podcast. So I think they learned something because They did a lot of stuff like some other bands, and you'll know what I'm talking about when I read their song names. The song names on their first album from 2012. They have Don't Look Now, I'm Being Followed, Act Accordingly. There's Starving to Death in the Belly of the Womb, I think. I can't read the rest of that one. There's, you know, like, The Definition of Not Leaving, This Ain't No Place for Animal. Like, just really long, long song names, right? And I feel like bands used to do that for a while. Then we go to 2016's album, Dissonance. Literally, the song names are one word. It's I Am, Perspective, Colorblind, Glasshouse, Still. So they learned something, I think. I think they realized, you know, naming songs like a Chiodos, or I think I Set My Friends on Fire, used to have really long names, or who sang FCP Remix? Who is that again?
FCP.
Fall of Troy. Fall of Troy. Fall of Troy had really long song names as well. Hail the Sun used to have really long song names. Now they don't. So I think people kind of started off that way, and then they realized, you know what? A bit wordy for the song names. But I might have to get back into Hounds Like Houses. Thank you for the poll. Also did a cover of Torn by Natalie Imbruglia.
Yes, yes, yes. Holds up.
Might have to listen. Wow, 11 million listens on that one. There you go. So what is Eskimo Callboy, by the way? What is that?
So I got the other day, I stumbled on this YouTube channel of this. He's got to be in his 50s. He claims to be a music teacher or like a professor of musical theory, and you know, he just kind of looks like a dad, like a normal dude, and he would he does these like song reactions, so he's like never heard a band and he'll just listen to them. And so he was listening to like some Bring Me the Horizon, and he had this one, and I guess people on his channel like recommend songs that he should check out, and one of these bands that he was reacting to is a band called Eskimo Callboy. The song is Hypa Hypa.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, it's one of the most unique songs I think I've heard in a minute, not from a quality perspective, but just a kind of the way I would classify them is they're like Rammstein meets Attack Attack.
I already hear the Attack Attack.
Attila. But you gotta watch the video. Oh, we're getting a little taste in the background. Mm. Yeah, so it was just so I'm digging it. It's got a great little rhythm, little beat. It's got a little EDM.
Is the music video look like an 80s or 90s song?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the cover for this looks very 80s.
Yes.
Like hair and fitness outfits. I might have to check it out. Good job on the Eskimo Callboy. Wow.
Yeah, check out. I would recommend people go to the video first because I think it adds an element. When I listen to the song, I mean, the song is fine, but I mean, the video element, I have a soft spot in my heart for, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek when, especially in this genre where every other video is just people in a dark room with a strobe light and rain falling on them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny to... when people, you know, laugh at themselves and have a little bit of fun with the music.
Would you say you have affinity for like that? You said tongue in cheek, like music videos kind of thing as well. Like, because what I thought you were going with was another deep pool. I mean, welcome to the 2000s post hardcore podcast on your iTunes. Don't forget to rate and review Affiance with one of the legendary music videos of themselves playing their own rock band song with fake guitars and everything. Do you remember that music video? Affiance, I believe it's called The Call of the Warrior.
Yes, Call of the Warrior.
I think you actually showed me that song. They also have a cover of Breaking the Habit.
Wow, might have to check
that out. Oh, they're back. Coda. Wait a minute. I thought they broke up. 2020, new single. Wow, all right.
Wow.
Anyway, so that was a very tongue-in-cheek music video as well.
I enjoyed that.
Love it. One more take you have. Biggest thing about the era that doesn't hold up. Is there something on your mind about that? I mean, we are all in on this.
Well, it was, this is like your point. The post-Chowcore podcast is after this. So, I mentioned it briefly in the Hands Like Houses kind of overview. Their singer has a higher range of vocals, but in that post-hardcore playlist, a band, Skylit Drive, which I'm sure you're familiar with, which back in the day, I wouldn't say I was into them, but I could definitely tolerate the register of the singer's voice. But now, holy moly, I was like, this is way too whiny, way too high. I could just not take it. I think it was just because my ears were more accustomed to it, you know, 10 years ago. But now I can't do it.
It's funny you mention them because one of their songs will come up on, like you said, the playlist, something like that, that I listen to. And I'm trying to think of which song it is, but I think it's like another one of those. Like I said, it's another one of those long names of a song. I mean, Wires and the concept of breathing. She Watched the Sky. But I'm Not a Thief, whatever. Like Skylit Drive, I think what I would think is the one. And, you know, we talked about this with Chiodos last week. It's not so much that it's a high pitch. I mean, bands would have dueling vocalists. We Came as Romans would have one, you know, had them. Mm-hmm. Just every band, we can go on and on. I think it's just more so the dependence on altering music in the album version. And then when you see them live, it's not good.
Yes.
I think that's kind of, and it's akin to these days. You know, you got the auto tunes on the hip hop singles, the top 40 with every song that comes out these days, and it's totally overmodulated. And then you want to go see them live, and half the time it's just a backing track because that's not how they sing. So I think that's the part to me that does not, you know, hold up.
That's true. I think it's, you're right. It's the perception that if I see this live, it's not going to sound anywhere near.
Yeah, it gives me no motivation to go.
None.
To go see them live. Jeff, let's keep this on the music front, but as we are talking about music, and the reason I'm saying this, does this have the potential to be one of the worst Super Bowl halftime shows ever? Go.
Oh, the Weeknd. Well, not a huge Weeknd guy. I feel like a lot of his songs are, they just get run into the ground. Like, some of them are okay, but you just hear them about a million times in every setting. He doesn't seem like he's much of a dancer or a performer from that perspective. So I have to think there's going to be some collabs, some people brought out, I don't know with COVID what they're going to do. It's going to be very interesting if it's just the Weeknd in the center of an empty, empty field just hanging out on a stage. I mean, who was last year? It was like J-Lo, right?
Yeah,
and
great.
Someone else.
J-Lo and Shakira.
Oh, yeah. See, that's good. That's giving the people what they want. I mean, no one's trying to see The Weeknd.
I have seen The Weeknd live, and this was 9 years ago. It might be 8 years ago. Before he was huge, before he was popular, he opened for Justin Timberlake. So this is before his big song at the time was Wicked Games, I believe, which is actually a very good song, but it's pre, he got all, it was, regardless of what it was, it was just him playing a piano. So that's what he did for his show. Granted, he only had 28 minutes, probably 25 minutes. So he played probably six songs. And it was really just him playing on a piano. So he has skills with that, but is that what he's going to be doing for the halftime show? And his songs, I mean, call him overplayed. We can call him very technical, modulated, what we just kind of talked about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Blinding Lights is a banger. I'm not here to deny any thought of that. His album is actually really good. I like his album. But
the first 1,000 times I heard Blinding Lights.
But Blinding Lights is a pump-up song. His other songs, I'm sorry, is he going to pump us up with He Can't Feel His Face because he's so high on cocaine? Like, is that what he's going to play? Is he going to play The Hills, which is like a slow, very modulated song with his voice? Is he going to play
Starboy?
Is Daft Punk going to make an appearance?
They're wearing the mask.
If people really killed Maroon 5, at least they played music. I just don't know what's going to happen here. So I have very low expectations here, which could be good because maybe he is kind of like the calming of a great Super Bowl, which, we all kind of hope for.
Yeah, and I mean, I think with a Super Bowl halftime show, you're trying to give some of the people who aren't as into the game something to watch for. And I don't know. I guess I'm not very tapped into that headspace, because I don't think the weekend really is a big pull for those types of people. So,
well, the weekend will be there on the weekend. But before we get to the weekend, there's some stuff that happened over the past weekend. And when we first wrote this rundown, it was about the QB Carousel 2021 Way Too Early preview. And thank goodness we didn't record last week, Jeff. Because in classic just jinxing fashion, we would have done this whole 20-minute breakdown on where teams are going to go or where QBs are going to go. We listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Like, we listed about 15 teams on here that might have a new quarterback. And we would have posted that episode. And about 3 hours later, it would have been old news because Stafford and Goff got traded for each other.
Yep.
That would have been just pointless for us to do, so thank goodness we are here. And we got to post this as soon as possible because, oh my, and by the way, can I just interrupt again? The Weeknd is currently doing a press conference on my TV, NFL Network. The Weeknd's notable songs, literally the four we mentioned, The Hills, Can't Feel My Face, Starboy, Blinding Lights. That's what's under there right now. Some two of those. Those are some snoozers. All right.
So, I'm excited for Deshaun Watson to get signed immediately after you post.
Oh, I mean this. So. It'll be to some random team that we're not thinking of. But let's get through this. I don't know what you want to do here, Duan. Just you have a flame take on here. Goff for Stafford. Let's just start off there, and then let's just go through some teams and just say, because I wrote down, you know, there's one, two. Now there's only five quarterbacks on this list that we have that could change teams. With Goff and Stafford gone, although maybe Goff continues to move teams. I wrote down they got traded for each other. A lot of people are saying, oh, well, then what is Deshaun Watson worth? We've all heard about this take. We've all heard this take, right? It wasn't just for the player. They got the Lions have to pay the hundreds of million dollars that Goff is still owed. That's why they got another first-round pick. So they get two first-round picks. They get a third-round pick. They get Goff. Mm-hmm. But these are the other offers that were on the table, and these are kind of other teams that might be looking for quarterbacks. So Washington, they offered a first and a third for Stafford. They said no. The Panthers, This one was interesting. They offered their eighth overall pick. I think that's an eight. Whatever pick they are this year.
Yes.
And then a random later pick. The Colts offered a random collection of picks and players, but they never offered their 21st pick. The Niners were interested, but they didn't say their 12th overall pick was on the table. And then the Broncos said, we'll just swap first-round picks if you give us Stafford, which that's one of the lower ones. So,
yeah.
Jeff, get at me. Flame takes, initial takes. What do you got?
Well, I think that people, one, have... I think there's been blame being placed in the wrong areas. Mm. I think a lot of people are blaming the decline of Jared Goff on Jared Goff. I think if we go back and we turn back the tape on this pod, and as someone who lives in the Los Angeles designated marketing area and gets a lot of Rams, whose father-in-law is a Rams fan, it's all Rams all the time, so I watch almost every game. Goff is not any different from a play perspective than when they went to the Super Bowl. They just had a much better offensive line, a dominant run game, and here's the flame take. Sean McVay hadn't been found out yet because he's built up to be some genius play caller. The past two seasons, you saw that kind of fall apart and defensive start to figure him out. Like, his offensive philosophy wasn't the most complicated thing. It's run the ball to do misdirection and play action with a lot of three wide receiver sets. And then he moved to this two tight end sets for a little bit. And that didn't produce the same results. You look at their run game when they went to the Super Bowl in the year before with Todd Gurley. They were the number two and the number five running team. Now they're the number 12 and 15 the past 2 years. That obviously causes more pressure on Goff to elevate the team. And he was never a player, even in the Super Bowl and when they were the top offense, who was anything more than a byproduct of a system and the players on the field. Now, is Stafford that much better than Goff? I don't necessarily think so. Everyone talks about the big arm, but I think Goff is what he is. He'll take what you give him. He's terrible under pressure. He's not the best decision maker, but he's a very accurate passer when he has time and when he's on the move. I'm excited for Stafford to be on the Rams from a fantasy perspective. I think he'll obviously have more talent and a better offensive mind than what he had in Detroit, which, again, is an extremely low bar. But he still had Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones. He wasn't dealing with garbage, and he had a cavalcade of random tight ends that would provide some value.
Contrarian.
So, I mean, I don't think... And to that point, I agree with everyone who's saying Goff is not going to be successful in Detroit. I'm just tempering expectations of what people think Stafford's going to come in and do what. So I think Stafford's going to be the exact same as he was at the Lions. He'll be a, you know, top 15, not top 5 quarterback, and he'll be fine.
Okay. Dare we make a Google Doc bet about the Rams? The Lions, I don't care about. This isn't about the Lions. This is about Stafford and the Rams. What are your expectations then? Whether it's playoffs, record, are they better? Are they worse? Do they go further? Do they don't go as far? Because obviously Goff and the Rams, they beat, or Wofford, whatever you want to call it. The Rams beat the Seahawks in the first round of playoffs this year. Then they lost to the Packers.
Barely.
In the divisional round. Yeah, barely. In the first one, their record wasn't great. They were a wild card team. What are your expectations for the Rams next season? And do I think they'll be better?
Well, I don't think they're going to. If I had to make some sort of like line in the sand bet, mm-hmm. I would say they don't make the playoffs because that division is tough. And the only reason they really made it this year was because the defense was the best defense. And we know that is, you know, fleeting. Look at the Jags from, 2017, yep. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
So it's nearly impossible to repeat that. Yeah, they could probably be top 5 again, but then again, they're DC now with the old Chargers. So the defense isn't going to be as good. The offense could be marginally better, but that combination...
Marginally? Oh, my goodness.
The offensive line isn't getting any. They have no young talent on that offensive line. I think it's getting worse as I forget his name. Haverford guys. He's like 50 now.
I think it's Andrew Whitworth. I think that's who you're thinking of.
Andrew Whitworth. Yeah, yeah. There's another Havenstein guy.
You're right. He's a center, I think. Or maybe the guard.
To me, that's the key. If Cam Akers, you know, takes the next step, which he looked good at the end of the season, and the offensive line, you know, stays in a good position, they obviously have weapons, you know, and the defense regresses a little bit, the offense goes a little bit forward. I just don't think that in that division it's going to be enough to call them a lock to make the playoffs or a Super Bowl contender. Get out of here with that nonsense.
All right. I will say they make the playoffs. And I'm even taking into account how injured Stafford gets. I don't care. So I'm writing it right now. Rams will make the playoffs. Made February 4th, 2001. 2021, wow. And they made the playoffs in 2001 as well. So
there you go.
I say Jeff says no. This is post-Stafford trade. All right. I believe whether you call it marginally or not, Stafford is a better quarterback than Goff. In this podcast's pretty good history, I've always been down on the Rams. You know that.
Yep.
Now I kind of like them. So yeah, let's go. Let's go, Stafford. Do it. Do it. Pad Stafford, as some people like to call him, because that's all he does is pad his stats. So that's two teams, right? The Lions and the Rams. They have new quarterbacks, whether or not the Lions stick with that the rest of the time. But there are multiple other teams with quarterbacks questions. And I don't really want to call, you know, the Jaguars into question because they're going to draft one, yep. You know, number one overall. Pretty much it's after that, though, is, you know, are the Texans going to make a move? Washington, Patriots, Steelers, Raiders, Broncos, Eagles, Bears. I wrote Bucks just because, like, what happens if they win Super Bowl and Brady retires? 49ers. Do you have any? And then I wrote quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, Sam Darnold, Cam Newton. He's probably not going to be with the Patriots. Carson Wentz, does he go somewhere? Jimmy Garoppolo. Of course, Andrew Luck, where will he go?
Where will he be traded?
What does, is there anything that sticks out to you? And then you have all, of course, the quarterbacks on the existing teams I wrote. Like the Bears, is Trubisky going to go somewhere else? Foles.
Yeah.
Derek Carr.
Foles is Derek Carr, yeah. That was honestly, not to belabor the point, but on Goff, like, he's probably as good as Derek Carr. Okay. That's my perspective. He's a Derek Carr, a younger Derek Carr. Anyways, yeah, a lot of pieces to fall. Like, I'm surprised, like, I guess this is all Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, yeah. Right? Where does he want to go? You know, people are like, why would he go to the Jets? Why wouldn't he go to the 49ers, who seem to be, you know, in a better situation with Kyle Shanahan? Like, if I was him, that's where I would want to go. They seem like they're a little bit down this year because of a ton of injuries. They got some young receiving talent. Kyle Shanahan, a good place to be. Obviously, the taxes aren't what they are in Texas, but that's beside the point when you're making that much money. A lot of pieces to fall. It's crazy how going into last year, we've said quarterback is so deep, and you know, I think we said like over 25 teams have their quarterback, and now we're sitting here with a list of like 15 teams that have major question marks.
It's true. And then all it takes, whether it is Deshaun Watson, I mean, right now, Stafford and Goff, one of the first kind of dominoes to fall. What happens when Deshaun Watson goes? What happens if the Broncos do something like, oh, the Broncos have traded Drew Lock to, you know, the Steelers for a fifth round pick or something, like something kind of random.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, oh, does that mean they're opening the door on them getting Watson? It's just wacky. And I think the one wacky thing that I want to happen, just to kind of start a loop and just to kind of get someone somewhere out of this picture with all these teams, and that way we can move on and go to the actual big game talk. If I want one quarterback to kind of go somewhere else, I want Carson Wentz to go to the Colts. I think he would follow Frank Reich, his old coach over there from the Eagles, the one who apparently was the only way to get him success for two seasons before he went on to the Colts. I think that would be great. And then the Eagles would have Jalen Hurts or whoever they want to have. But that would just start another domino. So I think Carson Wentz to the Colts would be great. And that's just one person. And like you said, we thought 20 to 25 teams were set. Now it's only 15. And that would just be one interesting wrinkle that I would like to see. Is there anyone at least you would want to see?
I'm just looking at the names. I think putting aside where will Andrew Luck be traded, you know, I'd like to see Sam Darnold get another opportunity in somewhere that isn't the Jets.
Yes.
But I just feel like the Wentz, I agree with you. I'd like to see that because I feel like he was so maligned this year, and, you know, in soccer, you know, form is a big thing, but there's more games, right? And I feel like in football, if you lose your form for, you know, five games, I mean, that's a third of the season. Like, you can't do that. So people just, you know, the winds of change go so quickly. But from what I understand, the new coach and ownership has fat heads of Carson Wentz all over their office. So
what?
I don't know how... You know, like a big cardboard cutout.
Oh, I know. Is that tampering or no?
Tampering?
Illegal talk.
Illegal talk.
Illegal talk about with Carson Wentz. Okay. There's a little. Yeah. See, that's some inside info from Jeff Schefter over there.
There you go.
All right. Well, I'm sure after we post this pod, something will happen. So you're welcome, football world, for getting the dominoes rolling on that. Let's get to the big game. We are just stretching this pod super long here. Jeff, you printed out, copy and pasted. This is kind of like your generic prop sheet that, let's say, people hand out at parties. And maybe we'll do this on Sunday when we go to our friend's house. Maybe we'll print this one. No odds, nothing else. You kind of just pick a bunch of these random ones, and whoever kind of gets the most is the winner. And these are very easy, very yes or no, for the most part. Which of these did you like and do you think you like out of all these, I guess? I don't know. I really couldn't really think of a better word than that.
Yeah, I always think I went to the yards for the quarterback. Mm. I thought that was an interesting one. On the Brady, you know, tend to go oh, his is over or under 280.5 passing yards. I think if they're going to be anywhere in this game, it's going to have to be over. And Mahomes over 324. That feels about right. I would maybe go under on that one. So those are the two that kind of stood out to me. There's some little ones here, some incompletes, not completions.
I think which team will record the game's first sack? I think it's Buccaneers. I think that one's kind of an easy one. Brady doesn't get sacked too much, and it's kind of been detailed over and over the last week and a half. The Chiefs' offensive line, they lost their left tackle in the championship, so they're starting a new left tackle. And the Bucs' defense, they have a great front seven who will try to get after Mahomes and force him to kind of run around and stuff. So I think that's a pretty good one right there. Also, the over for field goals seems really high. 3.5 total field goals in the game. That means either one team, you know, kicks three or both teams kick two. I think that's a lot of field goals, or am I wrong about that?
I think that is – I would probably go under there. Just I'm forgetting the stat, but I feel like the Chiefs – don't kick a lot of field goals.
And even then, like, you know, one of them could miss one. It's not attempts. It's, you know.
Oh, yeah. Made.
Makes in the game. Makes. Butker's already missed one or two this postseason. One against the Browns, and I believe he missed an extra point against the Bills, or he just missed a field goal against the Bills. Suckup has been pretty good lately, but he's notoriously had some troubles as well. Yep. And then total touchdowns is pretty high, but the over-under is at 56.5. It hasn't really moved. That's, you know, it's pretty much what is expected with these two quarterbacks, but there are thunderstorms in the vicinity. It's supposed to rain a little bit during and after the game or before the game. So 6.5 touchdowns would be seven. Seven touchdowns, that's 35 points. Or wow, I do not know how to add. That's 49 points. That's getting to that over-under. Do you think? And I mean, honestly, if you're a smart man, and none of us are, if you're a smart bettor, and none of us are, you would probably parlay the under 6.5 touchdowns with over the field goals. Yep. Because you're thinking, well, if they're not scoring that many touchdowns, that means they're probably scoring some field goals. That's how I would go there. Anything of these kind of stick out to you? And like I said, I'm probably going to print this out and bring this to the place I go to just to have some fun with the people, because it's nice and easy. No frills, no odds. Any of these basic ones kind of stick out to you? The wording of the Jersey player one is very confusing. Odd. So, it looks like it says odd no, even no. But I think it's saying odd number, even number.
Yeah, we're the first person to odd number. Right? Odd or even number.
Should just say odd or even.
So I think all of them are pretty standard. Onside kick, I think, is going to be a no.
That's a toughie. All right, so now we'll get into the good ones here. These are the ones that I love to dig out. And, of course, we'll get into the – we'll just kind of pick our picks after this. First player to score a touchdown. Of course, this is all courtesy of Bovada, the Bitcoin Bovada. So the one that I wrote and the one that I would take is Patrick Mahomes, a.k.a. a rushing touchdown. And he has done this 3 out of the last 5 playoff games, I believe. He did it in the game against the Browns in this postseason. He did it in the AFC Championship last year against the Titans. He almost did it in the Super Bowl. He got, like, to the 1.5-yard line. He tried to get in. He got to the, like I said, the 1 or 2-yard line, to which I think Damian Williams scored. Not sure who actually officially scored the first touchdown. So he's been close, or he's gotten it. So I like it. He does the little, if he gets to the 10-yard lane, he likes to roll out, look, 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 and then he'll try to take it himself. or of course he'll just do a QB sneak. Out of that one, do you like any of the other ones that I wrote here? I won't list them all, just kind of see what you think.
So the scoreless quarter, you like this.
Love it.
So is plus 550 if there is a scoreless quarter?
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't do that. But
oh, my. You would not.
No.
Three of the last six Super Bowls had a scoreless quarter.
So 50%. So it's I guess if that's the case, then you should bet it because you're getting better odds than 50%.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, obviously, notoriously, the Rams-Patriots one had a scoreless quarter. I believe last year as well had one. Not too sure. It was 10-10 at halftime. I want to say in the second quarter there was not a score, but I'm not sure about that. But Super Bowls get off to a slow start, or the third quarter gets off to a slow start because just kind of feeling it out, and sometimes you have to wait till the fourth quarter before things start going. Or the second quarter. So I like it. Plus 550. Now, you're kind of rooting for no one to score, which is kind of boring.
Yeah. There was not a scoreless quarter last
year. Oh, well. There was before that. And trust me on that. Yes, I've listened to podcasts. Listen to betting podcasts. Okay, but I still like that one. Plus 550. How about scoring a first touchdown? Is there anyone you think that I mean, I Brate's pretty enticing.
Ugh, the ones that are going off at 5-1 are where I would lean the Kelce Hill scenario, but Evans is a little bit intriguing to me at 9-1. If the Bucks want to get the ball first and they drive down, I feel like Evans is a contender right there at 9-1. That's not bad.
Especially, I mean, he might get two catches, right, for four yards, and they're both touchdowns.
Wonderful for me this year in fantasy. From that.
I mean, yeah, really, for that perspective. But okay, so we won't go all the other ones then. I do like, if you're going to do Mahomes 11-1, I say might as well just do Tom Brady for a rushing touchdown. He's at 20-1. I mean, you know what his over-under is? Tom Brady, I didn't write this on here. Over-under rushing yards this game? Half.
Oh my, really?
So you're betting that he does a QB sneak, which he will. I mean, I'd rather just, you know, will he get a QB sneak this game? Because Brady loves doing that. The only question is, and what hurts you is, if they're winning the whole game, does he do kneel downs at the end? Which will totally kill you. And it killed Mahomes last year. We don't need to go into that. He was like, his over-under last year was like 37.5. He had 39. And then had three kneel downs to go behind 39. So what a terrible beat that was. The other two that I like here, Jeff and I teased it in a text message. Little parlays that Bovada provides for you if you want to mess around. I like this one. Brady and Mahomes each throw for 250 yards. Okay, that's easy. That's a guarantee, I would think. I mean, God, who knows what's going to happen. Also, Mahomes has to have a rushing touchdown. So that's three things that need to happen, and you're getting plus 450. So $100 to win $450 if we want to just do it in layman's terms. That's a good one. And then this one, if I can somehow make this happen and just get a little bone on this one, my favorite, Jeff. You want to read this out loud because it's my coup d'etat.
The coup d'etat, the creme de la creme, the chantilly cream of Super Bowl props. The Chiefs commit a roughing the passer penalty on a third down, going off at plus 550.
I mean, woo! They're playing, and we talked about this pre-pod. They are playing against Tom Brady. The man who loves to get tapped on the helmet for roughing the passer. I love it. I will be rooting for this penalty all game. And it's just and it's one of those penalties, by the way, that's never going to get declined. Like the Buccaneers are never going to say, oh, no, we'll take the 10 yards instead. Because it always gets tacked on. Sometimes you get the offsides or a holding or whatever. And you're like, oh, no, we'll decline that because we'll take the play instead. This is one that will get accepted no matter what. I love it. I want to bet this. Plus 550 for the Chiefs to commit it on a third down, too. Like, it's so specific. Oof. That, well, I mean, yeah, it could happen on a first down, but the third down play is when they're going to, you know, they're going to be throwing, the Buccaneers, and the Chiefs are going to be rushing. So let's make that one happen, Jeff. Will it to victory?
Let's make it happen.
All right, let's get to just the official picks right here. So right now it's still minus. I didn't write this down. It hasn't changed. People were thinking the betting landscape might change, and it might, like, Saturday night or something. But right now it's still Chiefs -3, just straight up -3, not 3.5, not 2.5. And the reasoning for this is if it was Chiefs -3.5, people are going to pound the Buccaneers. Like, oh, Brady loves keeping it to 3. If it was -2.5, it'd be, oh, let's go on the Chiefs now. They'll win by 3. But now it's just -3, so you'll just be pushing no matter what. And the over-under is 56.5. Jeff, who do you like?
Well, I think from day one I said the Chiefs, so I will continue with that. I think, you know, these teams are very intriguing from the perspective that they've both showed at times during the year that they can mentally kind of take a break and have looked just bad at times, both offenses at least. I think the one thing that I'm a little hesitant, I think if you had asked me before the Packers game if I thought the Bucs could beat the Chiefs, I thought I would have said no. But, you know, if you looked at 6 of Aaron Rodgers' interceptions this year, 3 of them came from this Bucs defense, mm-hmm. a unit that similarly, I feel like, to the Chiefs defense, and maybe it's just because Tyrann Mathieu is a part of it, that takes risks. And those are the types of risks that you need to take against a great quarterback like Pat Mahomes, with just a ton of, you know, weapons on the field. But I think, you know, yes, the Chiefs have the big name weapons, but I mean, the Bucs have a ton of weapons as well. You know, they may not have, you know, as big of names as Hill and Kelsey, but they are also great. So if I had to look at the defenses and how they match up, I feel like the Bucs are going to – they may make a mistake that the Chiefs will capitalize on. I think it will be a close game. You know, I want it to be high scoring. I think it will be. And I think the Chiefs pull it out in the end. So I will take the over and the Chiefs.
The over and the Chiefs. I think – you know what? No, I'm just going to say I'm picking the Buccaneers to win outright. I think that's what I'm going to end up cheering for. I love cheering for greatness. Not that Mahomes isn't great. But just to kind of see Brady do it, like, with a new team, his first season, already do it for the NFC and teams who have been trying to do it for years. Shout out to the Cowboys. And just Brady comes in and immediately does it. I think that's what I'm rooting for. The over-under, though, I think I'm going to go under. And not because I think the score is going to be 20-10. I think we can have a game that's 30-24, and that's still the under. I think that might even be my total. Let's do that. Buccaneers 30, Chiefs 24. Let's see the Chiefs have the ball at the end to try to win, whether it's exciting or not. Do they go 3-and-out or 4-and-out and just lose just like that? That's fine. But I think 30-24, you mentioned the defense. I think are we overplaying the Chiefs offensive line maybe? But I like Shaq Barrett and them boys to get Ooh. After Patrick Mahomes. Let's see it. Buccaneers 30, Chiefs 24. Brady getting his 7th ring. Unbelievable. The GOAT gets goatier.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm again not opposed to that. I do enjoy, now that Brady is off the Pats, I 100% support his legacy and additional rings. Some quick stats to circle back on your Chantilly cream of props, Will.
Okay.
Now, obviously, Tom Brady has a large sample size of games that he's played. He gets a roughing the passer in 15% of his games. He gets a roughing the passer.
That's amazing.
Call.
That's a lot.
And 25% of those are on third down.
Oh, I mean, you're just
so There are some other very interesting ones. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick actually gets a lot of roughing the passer calls on.
That dude is made for. I mean, that dude's reckless. I mean, you can go the other way, right? He's so reckless. He runs around and just chucks balls up at the last second. So I could see that too.
Huck it, chuck it, football. There we go.
I love the stats. Thank you for. I mean, you're just making me more giddy.
There we go.
And wanting to get that. And I guess just the last note before we sign off here is, we got the playoff challenge. We're in 2,200 out of, I mean, out of 13,000, so get off our backs. But we are in good shape. We have Tom Brady. A lot of the teams in front of us have a combination of either Mike Evans or Chris Godwin. Maybe there's a Ronald Jones in there. But because of that, we are going to catch up to people in front of us unless Tom Brady has an absolute stinker, which he could. There's no denying that. But that puts us in a great shape because we have Kelsey and so does everybody else. So we can't lose ground with the Chiefs player, Jeff. I feel good about that.
Yeah, I feel like when we did our initial pod about our strategy, this is exactly where we wanted to be. We wanted a chalk play and a contrarian play. And that is exactly what we ended up with. Kelsey 62% owned, Tom Brady just under 10% owned. And we are trying to get in, what is it, like the top 5%?
Yeah.
So we're going to get, you know, I wish Brady hadn't thrown those interceptions. I wish we made some minor tweaks along the way, but I like our chances to at least get a free entry next season. If not, get to that 600th place and get some cashola.
Creditola. 600 gets us multiple entries next year, but 300 is where we get the cash, which is still possible. Brady needs to spread the ball around. Let's see Antonio Brown have a big day, huh? Antonio Brown has a big day. That helps everybody. It helps the Buccaneers. It helps Tom Brady. And it helps our team, Jeff. Any closing thoughts? Anything else we forgot to touch on? This was a good one. Shout out to Jose. I mean, we're going to keep shouting out to Jose, the new, let's call him the social media director. That's what he is.
Oh, yeah. I love that. You know, he's not quite an EP. He hasn't been on the pod before. But, yeah, head of social media. Getting the interactions, love that. Just to wrap it up, Will, it sounds like you're where are you watching the big game? It sounds like you're watching it over at a friend's house.
Yep.
You know, in the Queens City, if you will.
Yeah, it's actually gonna knock out a couple birds with one stone. So I do work in the morning.
Okay.
And I'll be off by we don't get to watch it till 6:30 p.m. Eastern. I will be able to work. Did not have to ask it off or don't have to do any crazy stuff. Nice. Just work in the morning. I'll be off around 4 p.m. our time. And then we are going to our good friends Marcus and Merritt. They have a new house, which we have not seen yet. So not only do we get to see their new house, we also get to go to a Super Bowl party. So knock out two things at the same time. Very excited for that. And just, you know, be safe, of course. Wear masks, all that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's it. What about you?
We are just watching it at Mike and Terry's. So we will have a wings bar and dips and apps galore. So looking forward to the big
game. Any BBBCs going to be there? I mean,
invites have been extended. We'll see. We'll see.
All right. Well, that is it. That is the All the Fields Fantasy Super Bowl big game. The big game. Preview. Stay tuned this weekend for the weekend, and will it be one of the worst halftime shows ever? I mean, it definitely has a chance. Jeff, what a pleasure, what a delight. I need to get some Bitcoin to make that one bet happen or do some shady stuff. I really want to make that rough in the passer bet happen, like nobody's business, Jeff. So that's it. We'll talk to you guys next week. We'll recap all that. And Deshaun Watson's probably gonna get traded in about 45 minutes. Peace.
Peace out.